I want to start off this morning by doing something a little unusual. I've already done something unusual, but we're gonna keep the weirdness going for a little bit. So often we come to church on a Sunday with things on our mind. And you know, it could be struggles we're having, frustrations, joys, we're tired, we feel lonely, there's just general busyness or the noise of the world that's swirling around us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm sitting in the pews, my brain's kind of half listening to what's happening here and then also going on things, and like I have all these ideas coming to mind that I have to write down or I lose them, and so I'm distracted. And so I want us to spend some time just inviting the Spirit to come right now and just spending just a couple minutes or less in silence. It's good that you're here today. And I believe that it's no accident that we're all in this room together and that God wants to speak identity to us today. And so the Bible says that we can cast our cares on him, that he will care for us, and the cross is a reminder of that. And so before I begin preaching, let's just take that moment to breathe and to just lay everything that is on our hearts at his feet, knowing that he has got it, that he's a powerful God, that he's got whatever it is that you're thinking about right now. He can handle that. He can be trusted to hold it. So just take a moment to invite him. Holy Spirit, would you come? We know that you're already in this room, but I pray that you would come in a special way, that you would whisper identity to us today, that you would show us why we are here on this earth, that you would reveal how delighted our Heavenly Father is in us simply because we exist. Spirit, move among us. Father, speak to us. Jesus, heal us. We ask that you would do what only you can do. Amen. And I'm going to keep things weird again. And I want you to think about a time in your life where you had an injury or like a broken bone or you sprained something. And then turn to someone beside you and tell them that. If you have more than one, maybe, or a lot, keep it to the top three. If it's gross, use your best discretion in the details that you share. So I'll give you a little bit of time, so go for it. All right, 10 more seconds. And let's bring it back. And because I stayed up here and didn't get to share with anyone, I'm going to share my story. So you all have to hear it. Sorry, not sorry. In August, I was walking down the steps of my aunt's 100-year-old farmhouse, and something in my right knee went pop. And then I could no longer bend my knee without excruciating pain. And that was super fun because that started me on a 4-month rehab journey. And thankfully it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I didn't need surgery or even an MRI or crutches or anything. But I just needed a lot of quality time with a wonderful physiotherapist named Grace Katuga. And praise God, it's doing great now. I can walk, I can do the things that I normally do. But here's what I learned from that experience. When one part of the body isn't working properly, everything else has to compensate, and it's hard. And as you know, we're in a series called Love by the Father, Sent by the Father, in which we are exploring various aspects of the identity that God has spoken over us. And we started out by looking at the identity of being adopted by God as sons and daughters. And then we moved into our sent identity, looking at how we live on mission in the world. And now we have moved into a corporate identity that God has given us as a community of believers. And last week, Chris McCooey talked us through our identity as being redeemed people, chosen by God. And he introduced the idea that we are God's prototype of how his kingdom looks in this world. And through us, he demonstrates what he wants to do in this world, which is to make all things new, to restore his shalom, his all-encompassing peace and order to all of creation. N.T. Wright, who is one of the most respected theologians of our time, says that the church is a small working model of this new creation that God is ushering in and will usher in. And so to further understand how we do this, today we are exploring our corporate God-given identity as the body of Christ. And that refers to the community of all believers who are united to Christ by the Spirit and who express his life in the world and carry out his mission. And so as we already saw through this morning's reading, Paul uses a metaphor of the physical body to help us to understand what this means for us and how we are to live. And so the first thing that we need to understand is who the head of the body is in this metaphor. Now, I'm not very scientifically minded, but I remember enough from the biology 101 class that I was forced to take in university to know that when we're studying what a body does, we have to start with the head. Because the body doesn't act independently of the brain, of the head. The head directs it. And in our metaphor, the head of the body is not any pastor or any elder of any church. It is Jesus. Paul tells us in Colossians 1:8, he tells us that in Colossians 1:18, and then again in Ephesians 4:15-16, where we read, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Jesus supplies our life. Jesus directs the body. He determines the purposes of each part of the body. And so this has to be our starting point as we explore this identity, because it's not about us making decisions. It's about Jesus telling us and controlling us in a way to accomplish his purposes. So what does it mean to be the body of Christ? Well, the first thing that I want you to hear is that if you follow Jesus, you are an important member of this body of Christ. You belong. You have been placed in this body for a purpose and a reason. We have all collectively been given the mission to be this visible presence of Jesus, our head, and each and every one of us plays a vital role in accomplishing that mission. And so if you're sitting in this room this morning, or you're listening from home, and you're thinking, well, she's not talking about me, she's talking about the person beside me, or the person that who's the back of the head I can see on the screen. I actually am talking right to you. You absolutely belong, and we absolutely need you as part of this body. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:15 with me. "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." The temptation here is to believe lies that we don't compare to others, and so we must not have any value to the body of believers. This can look like spiritual comparison, where we think, "I can't pray like that person can. I don't hear God the way other people hear him. I don't know my Bible as well as they do. I'm not spiritual like they are." Or it can look like insecurity about how we've been gifted. "I don't have a visible gift. I'm not a leader. I'm not on stage. I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't feel like I have anything public to offer." It can look like personality comparison. "I'm too introverted. I'm not a great conversationalist. I don't connect with people well. I'm not a people person." Or maybe it's your life stage or your experience that's making you feel this way. You know, I'm not young and cool like Pastor Charlie or Pastor Cheryl. Neither are we. We're not like that either, so it's okay. I don't have anything to offer. Or maybe you think you're too young, so that means you don't have anything to offer. Or you're too cool. Or maybe you can't fit, you don't see where you can fit. Or you're single, or you're married, or you're divorced, or you're a parent, or you're not a parent. Maybe there's past shame or trauma or struggles that struggles with sin that's holding you back. Whatever it is, we often choose to disqualify ourselves, sitting quietly without engaging in the body, maybe doing battle with ourselves, believing that we have nothing to offer, except that we do. I've had those thoughts a bunch of times. A few weeks ago, I was in BC speaking on a leadership panel as a female lead pastor to 60 women in a room. And then for the rest of that conference, I did battle about feeling like I was worthless because I wasn't on a certain stage. I wasn't asked to do a certain task. I wasn't included in a certain conversation. And I struggled. Do my gifts even matter? And so maybe there was pride there. But also maybe I was believing lies that my gifts don't actually matter because I'm not on a certain stage or the center of attention, which frankly I like to be a lot. So Jesus and I had to do business that weekend. And I had to really sit down with him and be like, Jesus, show me where my value is. Show me how you want me to use my gifts rather than me trying to fit a mold I don't fit. Because the truth is that we need to remember that this body needs you and it needs me to do what we do so that the whole body can function as it was intended. And when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we start to believe those lies. We start preventing ourselves from doing the job that we were placed in the body to do. When one part of the body is not functioning properly, the other parts have to compensate and learn to do things differently. I'm sure you've had this experience too, but my apartment is 3 floors up, and so when my knee was messed up and wouldn't bend, I had to do 35 stairs one at a time, up and down, and it took forever. And my left leg had to do a lot of work, more work than it usually did. And then it low-key became a habit for me, and when I was actually able to do the stairs normally, I had to get over the mental block that I still should do the stairs one at a time. I love seeing Grace just smiling the whole time. She knows. She knows what's up. But my body had to compensate for my injury, and it was difficult, and it made things harder. Whatever it is that makes you feel like you're not part of this body, it makes you feel like you can't operate the way that you were meant to operate, here's what I want you to see in our passage. Look at verse 17 with me. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Do you hear that? Did you catch that? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It is not an accident that you are here. You are here to serve a specific purpose and to make the body function well. You were not here accidentally. You are uniquely gifted by God to help this body of believers flourish and thrive. He intentionally made us different so that we would need each other. We don't all have the same gift because we have something to offer that is vital to the operation of this body. And so your gifts might not look like someone else's. You might not be on a certain platform, or it might not look the way you think it should. But that is not a bad thing. That's what God intended for you and for the body. And secondly, as the body of Christ with different parts to play, we are called to radical unity. Yes, we are all gifted and wired differently, created intentionally by God, even though we're different, and we all belong. But Paul doesn't stop there. He moves us on to something harder, a harder call, to radical unity in our diversity. This is not a surface level unity. It's not keeping up appearances. It's not just getting along with each other. It's a deep and costly commitment to oneness in this body. Radical unity means that we choose to deeply be connected to one another across our differences, across discomforts, and across seasons of life. Paul explains what this looks like in our metaphor in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There are two distortions of the body that Paul has been pointing out in this passage. The first one is believing that I don't belong. And the second one is what we just read about, saying to someone else, I don't need you, or I don't need anyone. Both of those things are things that Paul calls out, because unity means that we don't write ourselves off and we don't write others off either. Both of those things cause injury to the body. We don't always get this right at church too. We tend to overlook people who are different from us and fail to honor the parts of the body that might not look the way that we think they should. We carry assumptions about what matters most, and that can affect our view of the other parts of the body. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine in Vancouver a while ago, and he was telling me all about his church that he had planted and the team that he had. And he was like, if you talk to this guy on my staff, he will say that leadership is the most important thing for a healthy church. And then if you talk to pastor number two, he will say that it's theology. And if you talk to pastor number three, he's going to say that it's prayer. And if you say to the, you talk to the fourth person, they will say it's fellowship or community. And he was making this point beautifully to me that no one is wrong. All of those things matter. All of those things are important to the health of a body. And radical unity means that we don't elevate one of those things above the other. We don't elevate what matters to me and dismiss what matters to other people. Paul pushes this concept even further. He said that the parts of the body that seem weaker are actually indispensable to the body. Because we can tend to believe that the more visible gifts and service are more important than those that are unseen. But here's what he says in verse 22. We're going to look at that again. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Paul's talking specifically in this metaphor about organs like the heart and the liver and the stomach and intestines. They're hidden, they're unseen, but they are vital to life, essential to the survival of a body. And so the rest of the body doesn't ignore them. In fact, it protects them, it honors them, it cares for them in a special way. So they may be vulnerable, more hidden, less visible, but God gives them great honor. He honors them, and so should we. In 2008, I heard someone speak on leadership, and the point that she drove home has stuck with me for almost 20 years. She said, if you want to be a good leader, you have to be willing to clean toilets. She didn't say you have to be able to speak well, or you have to be able to be friendly with people, or you have to be able to win people over to what you want them to do. You have to be willing to clean toilets. Because the kingdom of God doesn't run on what's impressive. It runs on faithfulness, doing the unglamorous things, not because of visibility or recognition, but because doing them is an important task. So this looks like the unseen service that so many of you in this room do, quietly showing up in someone's life, bringing groceries, donating for the immigrant assistance fund that we have, donating furniture, helping someone move, praying with a friend, mentoring or encouraging someone, sitting with someone who's in a time of struggle, noticing a person that no one else sees and reaching out to them. These are often unseen acts. This is what it looks like when people of God actually believe that they belong to each other and pursue radical unity. They understand that these small parts to play are the clearest evidence that this body is actually alive. So we're different parts, but we're deeply connected. We're not uniform. We have different gifts. We have different preferences, different backgrounds, and yet we still choose each other. And we move towards each other, overcoming those differences, honoring what others overlook, and staying connected even when it's uncomfortable. Paul says in our passage, we reject division. We have equal concern for each other. We suffer together and we rejoice together. In John 13:35, Jesus tells us that if we have love for each other, that's how the world will know that we are his disciples. That's how we show him to the world, loving each other, being unified together. And in John 17:21, he actually prays for us that we would be one so that the world would know that the Father sent him. So that the world would know. Our radical unity that's marked by love is what the world sees, and it's how we live the gospel out. Finally, as a body of Christ, we are called to show up. As a body of believers, we are a community that is visibly demonstrating Jesus to the world. We've already said that. And that means that we show up. Paul wrote in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. And if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. And so we do this in several ways. We can show up for those in our community through meeting physical needs or relational needs. We show up in the emergency, and we show up in the ordinary moments of life. One of the best sermons that I've ever heard preached on singleness was by a pastor in Tennessee named Trevor, who has been married since he was 20. I know, I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is better than I thought it was going to be. He tells the story of when his wife went on vacation with their kids to visit her parents, and he had to stay back and do some work for a few days, and then he was going to go join them. And he said that that experience of just having a few days without his wife there was a micro glimpse into the reality that single people face every day. Because part of his bedtime routine was to, once he was in bed and his wife was in bed beside him, he'd reach his foot out and just touch her leg, and it would give him this assurance that she was there as he drifted off to sleep. But while she was away, he would reach his foot out and he would feel nothing. Cold sheets. And he found himself empathizing with single people, that realizing that he only had to face that for a few days, that particular nothingness. But single people face that day in and day out. And so his advice to the church was to realize that the body of Christ needed to be that leg where that single person reached out their foot and touched. Obviously not in their bed, literally, but in their lives. Inviting them on vacations with your family, inviting them for Easter, doing life with them, doing things that matter, remembering them when they might be forgotten. The body becomes what someone reaches out for when they feel alone, this body of Christ. So we need to be there. We need to show up. And this can look like noticing when someone's sitting alone in this room and moving towards them and drawing them in and embracing the discomfort that sometimes is there to introduce yourself to them so that they don't have to embrace that comfort themselves. It can mean taking time to pause and lean in and find out how someone is actually doing rather than screaming, "How are you? I'm fine," as you run down the hallway to the next thing. Sorry, you guys don't scream. I yell, but I have a loud voice. It means surrounding a brother and sister in prayer when they have a need or a struggle. I yearn to just see us lingering after the service on a Sunday, clustered around the room, praying for each other, lingering long after the sermon ends, continuing to lean in and talk to each other and be there for each other. I long to see us showing up in ordinary ways in each other's lives. Back to my knee problem. As it turns out, it was my back that was messed up, not just my knee. And so, because everything's connected, my knee was the thing that like snapped or whatever. But once I started working on my back, my knee started to get a lot better. And here's the thing. I kind of knew that my back was a little bit tight and needed to be probably stretched out the day that I hurt my knee. I'd driven in a car for 4 hours that day. I had slept in a strange bed the night before. I had been lifting and moving things to help set up for a big family gathering that I was in town for. And I ignored the tightness, and I figured I could push through and then pop. And this is a picture of how we need to pay attention to the parts of our body. When one part suffers, every part suffers with it. When one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The body doesn't ignore needs, it meets needs. Ignoring the body leads to damage and injury and a lack of health. And so we must pay attention and show up for each other, demonstrating God's love, but also in our world, being that visual representation of Jesus to everyone around us. And friends, I would hate for us to leave this morning and believe that that's just a word for those of us who are in this room or watching from home, part of the community of believers at Westview. Because we are part of a global community of believers, and they are also part of that body of Christ. And on Sundays, when we join together in worship here, we are joining actually with millions of brothers and sisters around the world who are all meeting together to worship the Lord. And many of them are suffering. As we know, there are war-torn countries. There are Christians who are facing persecution, gathering in secret, risking everything to follow Jesus. And what we've been looking at this morning tells us that they are not just distant strangers that we don't know. They are actually part of our body. So what does it mean to be part of the body for them? I'm not going to take a long time on this, but it means that we pray. It means that we pay attention, that we give, that we care. I just met up with a friend who works for Open Doors, which is an organization that brings awareness to and care to the members of the body who are suffering for their faith around the world. And I've put a few pieces of information about how you can be involved at the welcome desk. I don't have a ton, but if you're interested in checking that out, you can check that out there. And we will have my friend come back this summer and speak more on this topic. But let's not just care for the part of the body that we can see or relate to. Let's care for the whole body. And so as we close this morning, I want us to finish the sermon the way we began, with some quiet reflection and inviting the Holy Spirit to speak and allowing him to stir us up. As we consider what it means to be the body of Christ, both locally and globally, I want us to consider a few questions. And then you can do business with God. Where have I believed the lie that I don't belong? Where have I been holding back, believing that I don't have anything to offer? Where have I acted as if I don't need this body? Where have I stayed distant and avoided people or only connected when it's comfortable? Who have I overlooked around me? Who might God be inviting me to move towards? Because what we've seen today is that you are not accidental. You are not unnecessary. You are a vital part of this body of Christ. So I want to give us some time to consider these questions and to ask the Spirit what it might look like to act on what you've heard today. And then I want you to pick something and commit to doing that thing this week. And it can be small, starting a conversation, praying with someone, checking in and encouraging someone, showing up in a practical way in someone's life, stepping out in courage. So I'm just going to give us a minute to listen. And then to make that commitment to do that one small thing. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I still don't know where I fit. That's okay. We would love to talk to you about that. And so if you come and talk to one of myself or Charlie or one of the other pastors or one of the elders or someone from the prayer team, we'd be happy to walk with you in that journey of discovery. But hear this. Even if you look around and you feel like you don't fit any mold that you see, maybe God isn't asking you to fit a mold. Maybe he's forming something new in you. It's no accident that you're here today. God has placed you in this body for a reason. And your unique experiences and gifts and perspective are things that God wants to use powerfully in the lives of others. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this identity and for the call that it represents on each of us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be continuing to move among us right now. That you would help us to see where we have limited ourselves as vital parts of a body that need us. That you would open our eyes to the ways that we can serve, that we can move, that we can live in order to help this body flourish. I pray that you would show us where we fit and why we have been placed here and what it is that you want us to do. Reveal to us the lies that we might be believing. The lie that says we don't matter, that we're not needed, that we're an accident. The lies that say that maybe our life is a waste because of this or because of that. We know that nothing is wasted in your economy, Father. So I pray that as we continue on with the service and we continue to worship and lift our eyes and our hearts to you, would you speak to us? And meet us in the deepest part of our need this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.